morning, if you would, take your Bibles and go to 1 John chapter 4. It is very refreshing. It is very inspiring. It is very encouraging. And it also is very healing to focus your mind on God's love for you. To, you know, we can say, yeah, God loves you, but to take a little time to just let that sink in, let it soak for a little bit. It's very inspiring. It's very refreshing. It is very healing to take a look and consider God's love. And that's what we're going to do this morning. We're starting in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. 1 John 4, verse 8. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. That's his very nature. God is love. And it's interesting. It doesn't say God's kind of loving. God loves at times. No, he is love. Like we read also in 1 John where God is light and in him is no darkness at all. God's word gives us many attributes of God, and one of those is God is love. Says it again in verse 16, we know and believed, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Again, God is love. Go to the Gospel of John, chapter 3. I doubt we'll see any verses that are brand new today, but we're dwelling on God's love this morning. That's what we're looking at, putting into our hearts and minds. You know, with those who need healing, I'm sure you consider the verse that says, he sent his word and healed them. In John 3:16, very familiar, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God so loved the world, and of course, not talking about the trees and the bees and the whales and the elephants. The world, meaning mankind, human beings. God so loved the world. And this word love will pop up a number of times this morning. It's the Greek word agape. And it is so clear in this verse that God's motivation for offering eternal life to human beings was love. His motivation that human beings could live forever was love. Now, you may remember when Adam disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden and ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the results, the consequences of that was absolutely catastrophic. And in the Walking in God's Power foundational class, that is detailed quite a bit. And then in the advanced class, it's detailed even more. But if you would, for keep your finger here, but go to Genesis chapter 3. As you may remember, after they sinned, they were banished from the garden. They were no longer allowed to stay in that place. And at the end of Genesis 3, it tells you why. Genesis 3:22, and the Lord God said, behold, we're in Genesis 3:22. The Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life, it's a different tree, the tree of life, and eat, and what? Live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man and placed at the east of the Garden of Eden, cherubims, and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. So back to the Gospel of John. It's always been God's intention for human beings to live forever. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, live forever. I think when you're 25, you're like, yeah, that's cool. When you start getting a little older, that starts looking a lot better. Live forever with new bodies. So God offered whosoever eternal life, and his motivation was love, and his love was so great that he was willing to pay the price to bring that to pass and give the life of his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, so that the full, complete justice would be done because of Adam's sin. So this love of God, this agape love that we're looking at this morning, is much more than an emotional feeling. Agape love is a deliberate decision. And because of God's love, he gave his Son to be the sacrifice to pay for the sins of the whole world. Look at Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Without strength is not referring to physical strength. That's spiritual strength. We had none because we had no spirit. That's why we were ungodly. We did not have God's spirit in us. For scarcely, verse 7, for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. Look at this, verse 8. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Not when we were good enough, not when we deserved it, not when we loved God big enough. Nope. God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 9. Much more than being now justified by his blood, meaning Jesus Christ's death, which paid all the price so we could be justified, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies... And the reason we were enemies is we were separated from God. We had no spirit. We were enemies. We were reconciled to God, put back together to God by the death of his Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. This act of God's love brought us not only eternal life, but so many other great and wonderful truths. A salvation that is absolutely amazing. And what we see here is that we're now reconciled. Reconciled. Because he gave us his spirit. So we're no more longer separated from God. We've been united with God by way of the spirit. In the garden, Adam and Eve had God's spirit. They had the connection with God. Everything was wonderful till they lost the spirit. It says we're justified, which means to be made right in the sight of God. By nothing we did except go, okay, I believe it. Here you are. That was an act of love. We're justified because God loved. We are reconciled because God loved. Look at it. Saved from wrath through him, it says in verse 9. The judgments that are coming because of his love, we do not have to go through that. What a great God we have. And he did this for us even though we were without strength, ungodly, sinners. God's love for people is so big. Look at Ephesians. We're going to look at Ephesians for a minute. And these verses, again, are I'm sure, familiar. But let's read them in light of God providing what he provided for us because of love. Because he didn't have to do any of this. This agape love is a deliberate decision. It's not something that's forced. It's something you decide to do. And so God could have done a lot of things. He could have gone up to the chalkboard and just erased everything, said, I'm done. Could have said, I'm moving on to another planet. I'm done. But he didn't. Ephesians 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father, because he loves you, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. All of them. Here you go, God said. Why? Love. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. In love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Not forced, he was blessed to do it. Why? God is love. God loves human beings. God wants human beings to live forever. God wants us to enjoy the salvation that he's given to us because he loves us that big. To the praise, verse 6, of the glory of his grace, wherein he's made us accepted in the beloved. We're accepted. People might not accept you, but God does. In whom we have redemption through his blood, meaning the death of Jesus Christ redeemed us. The price has been fully paid. Not only that, we have the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Grace is that which you receive that you don't deserve. It's divine favor. It's unearned grace. It says in Colossians, he's forgiven us all trespasses. Wherein he's abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he has purposed in himself. This was all God's design, his decision, his wanting to bless people after Adam screwed it all up. God so loved the world, he gave his son, that in the dispensation or the administration of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will. Boy, it says it in a number of different ways in this chapter, doesn't it? That this is what he wanted. This is what he decided. This was his own counsel to bless us with all spiritual blessings, to redeem us, to give us forgiveness, for an inheritance, for us to be children of God. This is what he wanted because he loves that big. That we, verse 12, should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth. This is how we got in. We heard the word of truth, the gospel, the good news of your salvation. We heard it, in whom also after that you believed, and then we decided to believe it, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And I think you know it says in Romans 10, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Which lines up with John 3:16 that we read. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes. And God said, if you will just believe, it's all yours. And verse 14, which is the earnest, that Holy Spirit of promise is the earnest, it's the token, it's the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. The spirit we have is a token. It's a down payment until the return comes. In chapter 2, verse 1, it says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. The reason it says dead is because spirit, God's gift of spirit, is life. spirit life. Adam had two life forms. He had soul life, which we all have right now. We're all breathing, right? That's soul life, according to the Bible. He had a body, and he also had spirit life. And when he lost spirit life, he died. We were born without spirit. That's why we were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Ugly. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. See the motivation? God's love. His great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you're saved. The reason it says we're made alive is because we have spirit now. We have spirit life in us, and it's eternal life spirit. And raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're not there yet, but that's where God sees us, seated in the heavenlies as his wonderful children. Ooh, and look at verse 7. There's more to come. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. You know, you would think eternal life would just be enough. But that wasn't enough for God. Yeah, eternal life. Yeah, okay, sure, who wouldn't want eternal life? But how about being justified, redeemed, made righteous? All these other things that we're looking at. For by grace, verse 8, are you saved through faith, believing, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. We're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So God so loved the world, he so loved people, us humans. And his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, loved God and carried out God's plan by his free will. I must do the work of my Father. And he did and completed that work. And if you would, go to the Gospel of John, chapter 15. If God has this great love for people and Jesus Christ always did the will of the Father, then you would expect that Jesus Christ displayed God's love, this agape love, right? In John chapter 15, this was at the Last Supper, verse 9, Jesus Christ said, as the Father hath loved me, and that's that agape love, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. That's three times in that one verse. That's that agape love. Verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. This agape love, again, it is a deliberate choice. It's not an emotional response. There may be emotions involved when operating the love of God. But the love of God is a deliberate decision, not motivated by emotions. 1 John chapter 4, where we were earlier, but let's read a little more in there. 1 John chapter 4. Let's stop at chapter 3 first. Chapter 3. Verse 1, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knows us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. What kind of love is this that God would bestow upon us? Not just eternal life, but you are my children now, by birth. God is our Father. You know, it was Jesus Christ that introduced the concept of Father to the world. You know, throughout the Old Testament, Lord God Almighty, Jehovah, God Almighty, and then Jesus Christ came along and started talking about the Father. You know, he said, the Father loves you. The Father told me this. The Father, the Father, the Father. And he is our Father. Literally, it's not just like a, yeah, in our group, we like to call God Father, and you maybe you could call him something. He is our Father by birth, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the word of God that lives and abides forever. God is literally our Father. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. We're talking about the creator of the heavens and the earth, all of it. And they don't even know how big it all is. You know, sometimes when I go for a walk in the morning, I just praise God for his creation. It's like, there, look at these trees, and then some birds will go by, and Father, there goes your birds. You made them. You designed this body. Guess you know more about it than I do. Need some healing. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. And we are. Chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knows God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God. Here's how it was manifested toward us. Because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And that living is eternal life. Herein is love. Not that we loved God. We didn't initiate the love. But that he loved us. And we read that in Romans, remember? When we were ungodly, when we were sinners, when we were enemies. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That word means full payment. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. Isn't that cool? We know that God dwells in us. Why? Because we have the Spirit. How do we know we have the Spirit? We manifest it. We speak in tongues, for one thing. Interpret, prophesy, operate the manifestations. Could not speak in tongues if you didn't have Spirit of God. What, are you going to make up a language? That's hard to do. That's impossible to do. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he, God, because of love, has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There's no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. And look at this. We love him. We love because he first loved us. He loved us first. That's that, again, that agape love throughout that. And that's his very nature. The love of God is a deliberate decision. The love of God is giving. And the love of God is giving whether it's deserved or not. And the love of God is giving, whether it's deserved or not, regardless of whether there's a response or not. Mm-hmm. That's the love of God. And we're going to close in Romans 8, if you would. Behold, what manner of love the Father. Behold, it's like, hey, stop, take a look here. Ooh, slow down. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. And speaking of being children of God, we're going to Romans chapter 8, verse 15. Again, the Spirit of God that God gave us when we got born again. You've not received, verse 15, Romans 8, 15. You've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received, it says, spirit of adoption. It's much better translated, sonship spirit, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. He's our Father. The Spirit itself that we have bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We are God's children, children of the Creator of the heavens and the earth. Talk about connections. It's not what you know, it's who you know. God Almighty is my Father. We are the children of God. Verse 17, if children, then we're heirs. Heirs of God. Joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. And I love verse 18. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. There's a glory coming. Sometimes people say, why doesn't God do something? He did. Something rather remarkable, something awesome. He gave us eternal life and all the great benefits of salvation and redemption. All the stuff that we read about that we have now. And the life that is to come is just, eye has not seen, ear hasn't heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. God's got a lot prepared. So why all the challenges in this life? Because Christ hasn't come back yet. And there is an enemy. There is an adversary. There is a God of this world. And we haven't gotten our new bodies yet. But one day, we can all moon him if we want. No, I'm just kidding. Verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? God Almighty loves you deeply. Look at verse 32. He that spared not his own son. Remember what we read in John 3:16? God so loved the world that he what? Gave his only begotten son. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? What things do we need? God's not holding back. Who's going to lay anything to the charge of God's elect? God that justified us? Who's going to bring charges against us? We've been justified. We are right in his sight. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. We have a clean slate. Now God's going to bring charges against us? He already said, you're justified. You are right in my sight. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? God that justified us? Who loves us so dearly? Okay, who is he that's going to condemn us? Christ that died, yea, rather that's risen again, who's even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us? Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, is making intercession for us? So he's going to condemn us? You can't condemn someone and make intercession for him at the same time, can you? He's great. No, he's love. No, he's can't do it. Who's going to separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, mental pressure, ever had any of that? Distress? That's where you feel like you're boxed in a corner. Persecution? Famine? Nakedness or peril or sword? As it's written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, In all these things, we are what? More than conquerors. Through our own strength. No. Through him that what? Loved us. See the love of God? We can be more than conquerors through him that loved us. That's why I said at the very beginning that dwelling on the love of God is, it is refreshing, it's inspiring, and it's very healing and very encouraging. More than conquerors through him that loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can ever separate you from God's love. And in those times when you are feeling discouraged, stop and dwell on God's love for you. And if you need to, open the book and read some. When you're feeling alone, dwell on God's love for you. When you're low, think about God's love for you. God loves you, and nothing can ever separate you from his love. And he's the one that said, cast all your cares on him because he what? Cares for you. And the reason he cares for you is because he loves you. He loves us bigger than we ever realize. And when we're hurting, whether it's physical, mental, emotional, whatever, stop and dwell on God's love and remember that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. So, Father, I need solutions. Father, I need help. Father, I need the healing. Father, I need... And we just keep going to God in prayer, trusting him, but remembering and reminding ourselves that God loves you. So, Father, thank you for your great love, a love that never ends because you said nothing can separate us from your love. Thank you, Father, for the completed work of our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we are indeed redeemed, that we belong to you, that we are your dear children. Father, as we wait for that great day when you send him back, may we remind ourselves of who we are, who you are, and Father, remind ourselves of how much you love us. And may we believe your words, trust your words, and Father, take things one day at a time, sometimes 1 hour at a time. But God, you are still our wonderful and loving God. And we sure thank you for all that you've done for us and given us in the new birth. We sure look forward to that great day when Jesus Christ is coming back, and we pray in his name. Amen.